I wanted to look in the book of Nehemiah for a few minutes this evening, and we've been going through this book on Sunday evenings, and we continue to do that. We're getting towards the end of our study on it, not that we've been exhaustive in our study, but Nehemiah chapter 8, we will come to this chapter. It's a very exciting chapter of the book. It's an exciting book, and it's an exciting thing to see the walls of Jerusalem being rebuilt, and that city by gaining its fortification back in a physical way. But chapter 8 is an exciting book because we find that the job wasn't finished with the physical. The job went on to deal with the spiritual. When Nehemiah heard about the people of Jerusalem and how the land was laid waste, his heart was burdened for the people as well as for the city. We mentioned that a little bit last week as we went back a little bit and looked, I believe, at chapter 3 was last week. We looked at the gates. Maybe that was a week before. The weeks run together a little bit. But anyway, chapter 8, what we find is that the city was finished, physically speaking, but now the spiritual fortification began. Yeah, it was protected from the physical enemies. The gates were up. The walls were, breaches in the walls were all done. But now it was time for the people to be spiritually fortified, spiritually strengthened. And what a great blessing it is to see this chapter and see their hunger for the Word of God and for the great things that were accomplished amongst the people of Jerusalem at this time. So Nehemiah chapter 8 says verse number 1, "And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate, and from the morning until midday, before the men and the women, and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose, and beside him stood Mattithiah, and Shema, and Ananiah, and Urijah, and Hilkiah, and Messiah, on his right hand, and on his left hand, Padiah, and Mishael, and Melchiah, and Hashem, and Hashadana, and Zechariah, and Meshullam. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. When he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, and the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands, and bowed their heads, and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And Jeshua, and Beni, and Sherebiah, and Jamin, Akab, Shabbatai, Hadijah, Messiah, Kalida, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, Peliah, and the Levites caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading." I want us to consider a few minutes this evening, first of all, the proclamation of the Word of God. We've just read it here in these verses. What a great thing it was to see the people have such a great desire to have the Word of God read to them. They asked Ezra, they said, "Bring the book of the law of Moses and read it to us." Who was Ezra? Ezra was a priest, it says there in verse number 2. Ezra was also the scribe, as it mentions that he was the scribe, it's mentioned in verse number 1. He was the one who had brought people back to Jerusalem previously. Some time earlier he had come back, and the book of Ezra speaks about his return to the city of Jerusalem. And at that time he had taught the people and instituted many reforms in Jerusalem. But after that, it seemed like he returned back to Assyria, and now he came back with Nehemiah. The Bible says he was a ready scribe in the book of Ezra, chapter 7, and verses 6 and 10. It means he was diligent, he was skillful, he was a doer of the Word. He understood the Word of God, and he practiced it with his life. He had prepared his own heart to seek the law of the Lord, to do it. And he sought God with his heart, not just to make an outward show, but because he wanted people to understand the Word of God. He wanted to know it himself, and he wanted other people to practice it as well. And so they call for him to read the Word of God to them. Can you imagine that situation? All the people of the city that were old enough to understand the Word of God gathered into the street, and they said, "Read the Word of God to us." They didn't have a copy like we had of their own, and so they said, we want you to read the book of the law of God to us. What a great hunger for the Word of God. Isn't it a wonderful thing when people want to know what God says in the Bible? Far too often people don't want to know, and people say, oh, just leave me alone with your religion. I don't want to hear anything about it. But these people say, we want to know what God says in His Word. Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And these people were hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And it says that they gathered themselves together to hear the Word of God as one man. They had one goal. They said, we want to hear the Word of God. And they gathered together as if they were one person, a whole city anxious to hear of the Word of God. They wanted to hear what God said, not what Ezra said, but what God said. Ezra, read us what God says in His Word. Read us what God says. Tell us what God wants us to do. Ezra was a wise man, but they didn't want his wisdom. They wanted God's Word. And what a great blessing to have that, such a great desire to have the Word of God. It says there, did you notice that? It said that they, in verse number 3, he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday. That's a long church service, amen? From the morning until the midday. No pews, hard or otherwise. They were standing in the street saying, begging him, read us the Bible. Read us God's Word. And from the morning until the midday. Now if you think that the morning was being even 9 o'clock, that's 3 hours of reading the Word of God. 3 hours. You say, well, we've been here for, you know, getting on for an hour, and, you know, I hope the preacher doesn't preach too long, because we've already had some time, great testimonies, but they were there, and they said, just give us more. We want to hear from the Word of God. They had great respect for and a hunger for the Word of God. It says there that they stood there for that 3 hours, and their ears were attentive. Look at the end of verse number 3. Those that can understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. They were attentive. They were listening. They were hanging off every word that Ezra read. They were, if they'd been on their seats, they would have been sitting on the edge of the seats. They were attentive. They wanted to hear what God said in His Word. This wasn't just some formality they were going through. They said, we want to know God's Word. We want to know what God says. And again, this was several hours long. Isn't it sad that those of us who have such a ready access to the Word of God often think, well, I hope it's a short chapter I'm reading today. Because we say, well, I don't have much time. But these people said, we haven't heard the Word of God, and we don't have our own copy of it. We haven't heard it for a while. We want to hear it. And for 3 hours, they attentively listened to the Word of God. Now, that doesn't mean that every sermon has to be 3 hours long. I know you're relieved to hear that. We get hungry before 3 hours, right? We left home and came for a 3 hour sermon. We say, I can't handle it. We'd have to have a snack in the middle or something so we could, you know, carry on to the end. Now, somebody has wisely said that the mind can only take in what the seat can endure. Amen. So I'm mindful of that when I'm preaching. I don't preach 3 hour long sermons and try to keep them around that half hour, 40 minute, 45 minute time frame. But we ought to give attention and respect to the Word of God. You know, sometimes you say, oh, is it over yet? But no, let's give our attention. Let's remember we come here together to meet, to hear what God says. To say, what's God want for me today in His Word? That was these people's hunger and desire. And they had that great respect to the Word of God. Ezra made sure the people could see that that's what he was opening was the law of God, the Word of God. He stood in the sight of the people. It says there in verse number 4, he stood upon a pulpit of wood. Now that wasn't like me standing on the top of this here pulpit. All right, the pulpit was like a platform. It's like the thing that's under here, the platform that he stood up. But he was stood above the people, not because he felt he was better for them, but he wanted them to be able to hear. He wanted them to see that what he was reading to them was the Word of God. He stood in their sight and he said, "This is God's Word. This is the Word of God." Well, the Bible is the Word of God. It's not fables. The Bible tells us that in 2 Peter chapter 1, we've not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of the Lord. We were eyewitnesses of His majesty, Peter said, and the Word of God was written in old time by the Holy Ghost moved upon men, and they wrote down the Word of God. And we have the Word of God today. You know, I like to see when somebody's preaching, I like to see a Bible in their hand. I like to see the Word of God. I got this little electronic device here, and I got my sermon notes on here, and I could have the Bible on there, but I don't know, it's just something about it. I just want to have this book, this Word of God in my hand. So you can see I'm preaching from the Word of God. I like to see people preaching from the Word of God. Last night we had the Young Adults Fellowship, and after they went rock climb, we dropped our kids off, and then we went, the plan was to do a little bit of running around, and then I looked and I realized I left my Bible at the front door of the house. So we walked out of the house without my Bible. I had my New Testament in my pocket, so I said, well, I'll just use my New Testament. Well, I had some car problems. I ended up having to drive home and get the other car anyways, so I went in and got my Bible. I like to have the Bible in my hand when I'm preaching and teaching the Word of God, and it's good to have verses memorized. We've already heard that tonight. That's a great blessing, but you know, it's a great thing to be able to have somebody say, let's turn in your Bible to such and such and see what God says in His Word. It's good for a preacher to preach the Word, teach and hold the Word of God in respect in his hand. Sometimes people, even preachers, seem to have a little disrespect perhaps of the Word of God when they're treating it and holding on to it. But it's good to respectfully, carefully treat the Word of God and to show people that the message is from the Word of God. And so these people stood for the reading of the Word of God. They rose up and they stood there and listened to the preaching of the Word. Look at verse number 5. When Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. It used to be very common thing, didn't it? That when you're in school, if the principal walked in the room, the students were to stand up. Now, I don't know, even when I was in school, that kind of had waned and diminished, because I'm not that old, so that had kind of diminished a little bit. But it was a show of respect when the principal came in. Oh, it's the principal, we should stand up. Even when the teacher came in, you know, sometimes back in predating that, you know, it's a sign of respect. If our national anthem started to play, it would be a sign of respect for us to stand to attention, to stand to hear our national anthem, to sing along with our anthem. These people, in respect of the Word of God, stood as the Word of God was read to them. And what a great respect they had to the Word of God. And Ezra must have taught them that respect and told them the importance of God's Word. Ezra blessed God for giving His Word. He realized the treasure that he had been given. Verse number 6, it says, Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, or Amen, or whatever, Amen and Amen. It's written there twice. You can say it one of each if you like. But they said, Amen, so be it. We agree with blessing God for giving us His Word. And then as we read in verse number 7 and verse number 8, the Bible says that not only did he read the Word of God, but he wanted to be sure that they understood the Word of God. He made sure that they understood what was being read to them. Look at the end of verse 7. I'm not going to read the names of all those guys again, but it says, and the Levites caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. And so Ezra's reading the Bible, and there's people teaching. This is what he's saying. This is what God is saying in that passage of Scripture. This is what God wants us to understand from these verses, and so on. And so very clearly they wanted the people to know what God was saying through His Word. They caused the Word to be understood, and they read it distinctly, specifically. Verse number 8, they read in the book in the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. They read distinctly, very specifically, very clearly. They read the Word of God, but they gave the sense, they gave that background information, the understanding that was needed, and they caused them to understand the reading of the Word of God. It's the job of a Sunday school teacher or preacher to help those who he's standing before not only to hear the Word of God, but to understand it. to understand the Word of God, to explain what God is saying in His Word and using other scriptures to bring into play and to show what is being said, because we don't always understand just at face value the Word of God unless we get studying into it and understand a little bit more. And we need to do that ourselves as we read the Bible. We need to look at some of the cross-reference verses and say, Lord, what are you saying to me through your Word? So that we understand what God is saying to us and how we need to apply it in our life. We don't need people to explain away the Word of God. We need people to explain the Word of God. It's sad when people explain away the Word of God, isn't it? Modernism comes in and says, well, that I know the Bible says that that was a miracle, but really that's not what happened. Really it was just this. It wasn't the Red Sea, it was the Reed Sea, and they walked through. It wasn't, really was ankle-deep water, and it wasn't that great of a miracle. Well, then how did the Egyptian army drown in ankle-deep water? That's a pretty amazing thing anyway, wouldn't it be? But no, God said it was the Red Sea, and He parted the waters, and it was dry land. We need people to teach the Word of God and explain it as it is, to understand the context and the customs and so on, and understand the words themselves. And so they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading thereof. Remember the Ethiopian? He was reading the Bible, wasn't he? He was reading Isaiah. He was riding through the desert, reading on his chariot, reading out loud the Word of God. And God sent Philip along to him, and Philip came alongside and said, do you understand what you're reading? Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man guide me? He needed to be taught, and Philip opened his mouth at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. So that scripture is speaking about Jesus, and of course we know that that Ethiopian eunuch trusted Christ as a Savior because he understood, he had a hunger for the Word of God, and it was explained and taught to him, and he received the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior and was baptized forthwith as they went along the way afterwards. And so what a great blessing it is to read such portions of Scripture as that. If the Word of God is not understood, then it won't profit the hearers very well. You say, well, that was great, you read me the Bible, but what does that mean? How does it apply to me? How can I understand it? How can I put that into play in my life? Again, that's not to say that every time we read the Word of God, we're going to understand the full depth of it every time. Sometimes you read something, and you've read it 50 or 100 times, and you read it again, and God just turns on the light bulb and says, now you can understand a little bit more. And He gives us a little bit more understanding as we go along. The Bible says that that's the meat of the Word. Sometimes we understand the milk, and we need to get ready to receive some of the meat of the Word of God. It takes time. It takes growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. Jesus told His own disciples that He had many things to tell them, but they weren't ready for them yet. But He said, the Holy Spirit will bring these things to your remembrance, and He will teach you what I have said unto you. He will teach you what I have spoken unto you. And so we recognize the importance of teaching the Word of God and having the Holy Spirit give us that understanding of the Word of God as well. The success of a sermon or a lesson is not in its delivery, but it's in its understanding and effect in people's lives. To understand what God is saying and to apply that into our life. Now, we can have some great orator speak some great oratory, but if you don't understand it, and it hasn't been explained, and you just say, wow, I think that was amazing, but I don't really know what it was. No, it's better to understand what is being taught, understand what is being said. And these people were taught what God said. They had a hunger for the Word, and they were taught what it said. And so therefore, in the last half of the chapter, we find that they practiced the Word of God. The Word of God was proclaimed, and because it was proclaimed in such a way that they understood it, they went and they practiced it. They became doers of the Word. It says in verse number 9, Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet. And that's what we'll do in a few minutes. Amen. And send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. And on the second day, they were gathered together, the chief of the fathers of all the people, the priests and the Levites, unto Ezra the scribe, even to understand the words of the law. And they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month, and that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, Go forth unto the mount and fetch olive branches and pine branches and myrtle branches and palm branches and branches of thick trees to make booths, as it is written. So the people went forth and brought them and made themselves booths, every one upon the roof of his house and in their courts and in the courts of the house of God and in the street of the water gate and in the street of the gate of Ephraim. And all the congregation of them that were come again out of the captivity made booths and sat under the booths. For since the time, the days of Joshua the son of Nun, unto that day had not the children of Israel done so, and there was very great gladness. Also day by day, from the first day unto the last day, he read in the book of the law of God, and they kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day was a solemn assembly, according unto the manner. What did they do? They heard the word of God. They said, hey, we haven't been keeping the Feast of the Tabernacles. We need to keep that, the Feast of the Booths, and we need to keep that that feast. And they put into practice the word of God. The Bible says that we need to be doers of the word and not hearers only. It's great to have a hunger to hear it, but that hunger is not just to know it, but to practice it, to live it. And these people, because they understood it, therefore they wanted to live it. They wanted to put it in practice in their life. At first they wept over God's word because they understood how far short they had fallen of what God desired for them. They then rejoiced in the word of God, though, that God had spoken to them and through his word. And then they put it into practice by celebrating that feast of the tabernacles. It hadn't been done for a long time. That was a long time that they hadn't done the Feast of Tabernacles. It says, since the days of Joshua unto that day. There'd been a long spell of time where they hadn't done it. And so they said, it's time that we get back to doing what God said to do in His Word. And what a great blessing it was to see their willingness and their desire to do that. Great gladness came from the preaching of the Word of God and from applying it in their lives. Just as Jesus said, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. We need to put into practice what God says in His Word to bring the joy in our life. And so there was great joy when the city was fortified physically. It was great. The walls are finished. The gates are up. That's great. But Ezra said, oh, hold on a minute. Now let's pull out the book of the law of God. And the people said, read it to us, read the word of God to us. And then the fortification became a spiritual one. They were edified in the faith. They grew in their knowledge of God and His word. And then there was even greater joy in the city of Jerusalem because they had put into practice what God said in His word. A spiritual fortification is necessary in our lives too, isn't it? God says we need to put on the armor of God. We need to put on that armor that we may be able to stand in the wicked day, and having done all, to stand. Jude says it this way in Jude verses 20 and 21, But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith. How do we build ourselves up in our faith? By getting into the Word of God. A hunger for it, a desire to understand it, a desire to apply it in our life. That's building ourselves up in our holy faith and keeping ourselves in the love of God, looking for His mercy unto eternal life. The question is, are you reading the Word of God? Are you hearing the Word of God? Are you practicing the Word of God? Now, that's what these people did, and there was great joy because they did that. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you again for this time. We do rejoice in the opportunity that we have to study this. Though quickly tonight, Lord, we've been blessed by reading the revival that took place in Israel, in Jerusalem, because they opened up the Word of God. The great hunger they had for the truths of God's Word. The great desire that they had to not only hear it, but to understand it and then to put it into practice in their life. Lord, help us, I pray, to be people who have that hunger to hear, have that hunger to read, have that hunger to understand and have that desire to put into practice what you speak to us through your word. Lord, we are so grateful that we have the Bible. We don't have to go and find somebody who has a copy to read it to us because it's so available to us today. And for that, though we take it for granted, we're very thankful tonight. But Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be mindful of those who do not have it. And Lord, to even be reminded to pray for them that they would be able to get the Word of God in their language in many places where such is not the case now. But Lord, for those of us who have it, again, help us to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. So Lord, we look forward to going downstairs for the fellowship time around the tables downstairs. Thank you for the food that's been brought. Lord, we pray you bless it to our use and bless our fellowship together. Now we pray in Jesus' name, amen.